This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Chapter 4, the concluding chapter of the life of St. Peter the Apostle, entitled The Eternal Church.
It was back through the ages, when I lived in Rome as a Jewess and died as a Christian. Back through time, to the days when I knew Peter and gave shelter to him, until there was no shelter to give, except the catacombs. Much of the imperial city is black and charred from the great fire, much of it in ashes. The Circus Maximus is burned out. Its great arena no longer echoes to the roar of wild animals let loose among the hundreds of Christians. But the massacre goes on, day after day, for in place of the one big amphitheater, several smaller arenas have been quickly set up. And so the followers of Christ, accused by Nero and the mobs of starting the great fire, continue to be slaughtered. But here there is silence. Silence, except for the whistling of the rats. For this is the blackness of the Mamertine dungeon, where two men, both very old, both very sick, and both held by chains, await trial and ultimate death. They are Peter and Paul.
Must be night.
I never knew a night so black.
There was a day that was blacker. Don't you remember how it was the day they crucified him?
I wasn't there, Peter.
No, I'd forgotten. At least in our last days, you and I together.
Our Lord is merciful.
It must be our work is done. I mean, if it wasn't, I don't think that our Lord would be calling us to him. To you.
No. Work is done.
Yes, I think so. We will die. But the church will go on living for as long as the world must last.
What does it mean to die? Have you ever thought of that, Peter?
Sometimes.
Is it the end of all living?
Oh, how could that be?
No, it can't be.
Real part of us never dies. Never.
That's right.
I'm tired, Paul. I'm ready to die for Christ. I think I'll enjoy dying. Close my eyes, then open them again and be face to face with our Lord. That's the way it will be this time. So many times before this, I thought the end was near, but it never was. Just a little while ago, you know what I was thinking about?
No.
Of a flogging I once had. You've been flogged, you know what it means,
I know what 39 lashes of the whip mean.
It was this one time. I was tied up in the courtyard of the prison, and a man named Solomon was flogging me.
Renegade! Betrayer! Betrayer of your fathers! Betrayer of Moses and Abraham! May they crucify you when I get through with you, the way they did with your Nazarene master! Come on, let me hear from you. Don't keep it inside you. Let's hear you scream for mercy. By the blood of 7 bulls, it must be I've been too gentle with you. Now we'll see how loud you can scream. I'll make you scream all right.
It was funny, Paul. I hardly felt the whip. I could feel the blood running down my body. That was all. Except happiness. I felt happiness, too. I had the feeling our Lord was standing beside me, his hand on me. I felt no pain. Later on, they took me to a dungeon, like this one. They put chains on me, tied me up to a pillar. But even then, this fellow Solomon wouldn't let me alone.
They wanted to rub salt into your wounds. I told them not to. Why waste good salt on a renegade, I told them. Well, say something.
I bless you, my son.
You what?
I bless you. And pray for your soul.
You pious fool. Who are you to pray for my soul?
Man like you.
And you think you have the right to pray for my soul?
We all have the right to pray for others.
We do, do we? So I'm as holy as you think you are. Is that it?
You say I'm holy. I don't.
I know. But you think it.
I love Christ. When I die, it will be for him.
You weren't always so brave.
No.
You haven't forgotten, huh?
No, Solomon. I did deny him. But he forgave me.
The carpenter forgave you, did he? They say he loved you more than he loved all the others. Is that right?
He loves all men.
Does he love you?
Yes. He wants you to love him.
I should love a miserable carpenter. This is what I think of him. And this is what I think of you. What do you say to that?
I forgive you. And he will forgive you if you believe in him.
They're going to kill you. Did you know that?
I'm to be tried.
Oh, you'll get a trial. Instigating riots, violating the laws of our fathers, violating the laws of the synagogue. You've got a lot to answer to. You're a Jew. You're a Jew who's turned against his own people.
Our Lord was a Jew. If I love him and will die for him, how can I have turned against our people?
You've got an answer for everything, haven't you? But you sit among Gentiles and eat their food. And you've turned a lot of your own people against the synagogue. They'll have you killed for that. And I'll be there to watch you die. Unless the rats down here destroy you first.
You and I, Paul, and others too, we've all gone through times like this. Something very strange happened that night. There were soldiers guarding me because Herod was afraid some attempt might be made to rescue me. The most wondrous thing occurred. My dungeon seemed to be suddenly filled with a soft light. I was the only one aware of this. Then I saw an angel standing beside me.
Peter, rise up quickly. Cast away thy chains, for they no longer bind thee. Now gird thyself, fasten on thy sandals. Now pick up thy cloak and follow me.
Paul, it was like a dream, a vision. I followed the angel past the guards, who didn't seem to see us. The gate opened by itself as we approached. And we kept walking until we came to the prison gate. Then we walked through that gate too, out into the darkness of the street. Only then did the angel disappear. Only then did I realize it really happened. That it was no vision. I was free. And at once I went into hiding. Later on, Herod ordered 16 prison guards executed for my escape.
Yes, I remember. Well, your work was not finished then. And our Lord sent one of his angels to free you.
One of the miracles of our time, Paul. In an age of many miracles. Well, as you say, the work is done now.
Yes. And after your death, they will elect the next vicar of Christ on earth.
The next vicar of Christ on earth. The next pope. A man called Linus, chosen after Peter, and given all the authority Christ gave Peter. Authority that must pass from one pope to the next as time goes on. The eternal church is firmly established, built on rock as unbreakable as Peter himself.
Remember me?
My sight is not what it used to be.
I flogged you once.
Oh, I've been flogged too many times to remember just a voice.
My name's Solomon. It was in Judea. You got away somehow. Nobody knew how you did it.
Oh, the time the angel came. Solomon. Yes. Yes, I remember you now.
Funny we should meet again, huh?
Yes. You're in Rome now.
The Romans like the way I handle prisoners.
I'm glad for your sake, Solomon.
Tell me, how did you get away that time?
We often talk about it now. An angel of the Lord set me free.
I've heard that before. It makes a good story. But you can tell me the truth.
That is the truth, my son.
I ought to give you another taste of the whip. You know why I'm here?
No. You're a Jew. But you'll be tried in a Roman court.
So they want a Jew to ask you the questions. So I made myself available.
That was a kindly thing to do, my son.
You'll be cleaned up, given a bath, so you won't offend the ladies who'll be listening to the trial. But it takes a lot to offend some of these fine Roman beauties, let me tell you. You're going to die. You know that?
Yes, my son.
I don't understand.
Understand what?
The way they flog you and all the rest of you. Christians, I mean. Flog you and slaughter you. Jews and Gentiles calling themselves Christians. You're taken out into the arena to be fed to lions. And all you can do is think of the Nazarene. I can't fathom it. It's bad, you know that. It's bad for people like me to watch you die. I'll tell you the truth. It shakes my faith in the teachings of the synagogue. Look, we're both Jews. But you're different from me. All because of this fellow you call Christ. Tell me the truth. You don't really believe he's the Son of God, do you?
My son, the choice of what we believe or disbelieve is our own. You are free to reject our Lord, as most of our people have. Or you are free to accept him. He asks nothing of you except your love. In return, he offers you everlasting life. That's why the Christians have no fear of death when they're led out into the arena. They know they're about to pass through the gates of heaven. My son, will you turn to Christ?
You're going to be slaughtered. And all you can think about is saving my soul, as you call it.
Be baptized. You will find a happiness you've never known.
No. I don't believe in all that swill. I'll see you in the morning at the trial.
All right, my son.
This other fellow here, Paul, that's your name, isn't it?
Yes, Paul.
You'll be tried in the morning, too. Only you claim to be a Roman citizen. So things will be different for you.
It is morning. Soldiers file through the Mamertine dungeon. Few expect to find Peter and Paul living. Few prisoners survive this place of horror. Most of those who do emerge raving maniacs or eaten away by disease. So the two old men are led away into the sunlight that all but blinds them. The word has come to us in the catacombs. We know the trial is going on. We know why. Both prisoners are too well known to be executed without some pretense of legality. But we know this is the end for Peter, if not for Paul. The trial is a mockery.
Tell us your name.
Simon, called Peter.
You're a Jew?
Yes.
A believer in Christ, too.
Yes.
You're here on two charges. A crime against the synagogues and a crime against Rome.
Make the charges, my son.
You're accused of using the synagogues to preach against the law of Moses. Is that true?
I preach the word of Christ.
This same accusation charges you with leading Jews away from the teachings of the synagogues and converting them, as you call it, to Christianity. Are you guilty of this?
Yes, my son.
This same accusation charges you with instigating riots among the Jews. Is that true?
It must be, because it's happened a good many times.
You plead guilty, then?
I must.
Your crime against Rome is this. You're accused of gravely disturbing the peace of law and order.
My son, I go by the law of God and his church. I plead guilty to all charges against me.
A few moments from now, and Peter will be led away, sentenced to death. The death penalty is mandatory for Christian prisoners. Only the form of death varies. Peter will be crucified. Paul is a subject of Roman law, and so he'll be put to death by the sword, beheaded. One of our messengers has carried the verdict of the court to the catacombs, where in thousands, we who follow Peter's teachings hide from persecution. But now many of us emerge from the catacombs to mingle with the crowds that gather along the way, to watch Peter being led to his death. And so we see him at last, an old, old man, now almost too sick to walk. He is pushed and dragged, but he is clearly too weak to carry his own cross, and so a Roman soldier carries it for him. And still Peter looks at the crowd and recognizes many faces, the faces of people he has converted to Christianity, and he quietly blesses them. Silence now. The cross has been put in its place. Among those near Peter is the man Solomon, who whispers something to Peter.
Peter, it was kind of you to be here. Forgive me. Well, I forgave you many years ago, my son.
And now, bless me.
I bless you, Solomon. And when this is over, go straight to one of the apostles, or to Linus, or any one of those around him, and be baptized. Promise me that.
I promise. Goodbye, Peter.
We will meet in heaven, my son. There's no goodbye with the Church of our Lord.
It was here, where the Vatican now stands, where they crucified him. Crucified him head down by his own request. For even as he died, Peter thought himself too unworthy to die as Christ had died. Afterwards, some of us were allowed to take his body and to bury it with Christian prayer. Destruction. It came soon after Peter had died. Destruction of the city that had rejected the word of Christ and then Peter. Jerusalem lay in ruins, not one stone untouched, and its survivors were scattered all across the world. But in another city, the church flourished and its people grew united. That city was Christian Rome, eternal Rome, where St. Peter died, just as our Lord had died before him.